So let's take a step back and step back into toys here for a moment.
Sure.
Because you mentioned, look, you had the, was it the Milia?
Classic the Milia model,
which
yeah.
you played Destroy. With for 6 or 7 months.
The broke.
And eventually the Jetfire. But how did you get into, like, how was the progression of buying Valkyries?
Well, we brought up earlier...
Chinese shops, right? The Modelers World and...
Modelers World, that's the one I was trying to think of. And there's the other one that's in Haymarket that's stupidly expensive where
is
they make
still
it...
still there? Or...
Oh, yeah.
Because Modelers World's been gone for, like, 6, 7 years now.
Yeah, so, yeah, and Astro Hobby closed down. There's an EB where Astro Hobby is now. If you know the EB under Galleries Victoria, that's where the Astro Hobby was.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so, I was in the Modelers World, and I saw this beautiful, beautiful boxed up YF-19 robot.
What year would this have been?
I was either... I don't think I was married yet, so I want to say it was 2002.
Okay.
Does that even sound about right for when it came out? Do you know?
Doesn't sound... It could be a tad early?
Well, maybe I was married. I know... I remember when I bought the 21, I remember I bought it at Modelers World because I didn't, at this point, online ordering, like eBay was just starting to come into, and ordering stuff online was not something you did commonly. Everything I bought for a long time was physical up until, well, I mean, I bought some of my, the VF1s, the first version Arcadias, Yamatos through... HRJ. HRJ is the first online store that I remember buying stuff from. Ever. I tried eBay a couple of times and it always sort of went wonky on me and I never really did it. I almost got one of those 21s, the 172 scale 21s on there and they screwed me over. And I was like, well, eBay's bullshit. And I didn't use it for years. 5, 6 years. Never used eBay. Pretty much until I got into Rider when I started using it properly. And G.I. Joe. So... yeah, so I saw, I remember distinctly buying the 21 in the shop and then having it in a plastic bag, carrying it around in the city and sitting in the park with my wife. I don't remember if she's my wife yet or not, but my wife and a friend of ours who I know through Fanforce, which was the Star Wars group we were all a part of. And we, Fanforce as a group sort of started to fall apart, in terms of regularly doing stuff together in like 2003 or 4. 2005 or 6. So I guess it could have been as late as that, but I thought that the originals came out in, I thought it was 2002 or 3, but it could be later. But anyway, so I remember seeing the 21 being like, that's stupid expensive, but I must have it. Must have it. Bought it, loved it, despite all its foibles and all its faults and the paint scratching off it in places. I loved every second of it. Loved the 21. Love the 11. In fact, for years I kept the 11. The other two I gave to my brother-in-law, because he was a Macross fan. He's like, I can't transform them. I said, do you want me to just put them in fighter mode and leave them? In fact, the original 21, I don't remember what I did with, but remember they did a reissue of the 172, which had the belly fix where it was narrower.
Right.
That's the one I gave to my brother-in-law because he still has them in fighter mode on a shelf. That and the 172-19, both in fighter mode. He's never transformed them. They haven't been transformed since I put them into fighter mode and gave them to him. About, well, close to 10 years ago. Maybe, yeah. We're closing on 10 years ago. So, you know, I loved them. Thought they were great. And that's what brought me to Macross World. Into the toys. And that's what brought me to knowing about Yamato toys. And brought me into the world of high-end collectibles in a lot of ways, really. I was never one of those people who's like, I'm going to pay $200 for a G.I. Joe. Like... that's a super rare or super rare Star Wars or something like that. That was just... because I play with my toys. Toys are to be enjoyed. They're to be played with and fiddled with and messed around with. Otherwise, you may as well collect photos or posters or statues. If you're going to buy toys, play with them. Because nothing drives me more nuts than people like, I hate the transformation scheme on this. Oh, really? Do you play with it a lot? No. Then what the f***? Do you care what it transforms like? Put it in a mode, leave it, and... you know, who cares? That's, at least that's my opinion. I know that there are people who occasionally change their displays and mess things around, but anyway. So, then we got the... did the Zeros come before the 160?
You're not asking the right person.
I think the 160 VF1s came first. Then it was the 148 scales. And I, so for the 160s, I had most of the Do You Remember Love. I think I had all the Do You Remember Love Squadron, the 1D, and the Max and Melia. No. And the 1D. I think that was it. I only had like five or six of them. And then I bought, started buying the 148s. And they were the, they were like, you know, you'd buy one every few months, and that was a big deal, getting a 148 in. I remember the first one my wife bought me for, it was like Christmas or my birthday.
Hmm.
It was Alto's VF1A from Do You Remember Love. This is the 148 scale ones.
Who's VF1A?
Hikaru's.
This is like, we're just, this whole podcast is in the plot head, for Macross
30. I know. In my head, I know them. I just keep getting the names wrong. So, yes, Hikaru's VF1A from Do You Remember Love.
Right.
And for that was, I could not believe that was, like, how much that toy could do, how good that toy was.
Mm.
I loved it. All the, I put, that was where I taught myself, like, to put stickers on properly. Mm. That's why now people are like, I hate stickers, tamper printing. I'm like, no, I like stickers I can customize.
Mm.
I can mess around with what I put on where and how I, and if I don't like it, I can rip the stickers off and put another one on if I, mm-hmm. you know, if I mess it up. You know, tamper printing's crooked. Well, you're stuck with a crooked tamper print. Sticker's crooked, take it off, put on another sticker.
Hmm.
So for the 148s, I had almost all of them, if not all of them.
Wow.
Because I know they did all the Do You Remember Love Valks, they did all the TV Valks. They didn't do the VE or the VT or the 1D. But I'm sure I had everyone else. And I remember thinking, I wish they'd do a 1S with a Hikaru as a pilot. Like a TV Hikaru as a pilot. And I don't think they ever did. And then they did the Low Viz, which was the grey one. The Low Viz 2, which was the jungle camo.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still think is one of the most gorgeous Macross Yamato toy schemes they ever did. And I wish they would have done it again as the 160 V2s. Because that looked fantastic, that jungle camo. Mm. In fact, that's one of the few I still own. I still own three. I have the Stealth, the 1J Stealth, which had the cool pilot and like high atmospheric gear. I have the 1A, which was the jungle camo. I'm pretty sure it was a 1A. I'm 90% sure. And I have the GBP armor for it.
Mm.
Although I didn't ever find the GBP armor for the 1J. Hikaru's 1J. So I never had the GBP armor for it. And I have the original Stealth, the low vis, the one that's pure grey.
Mm-hmm.
Although I repainted it.
Really?
I drove people nuts. You can find, again, if you look in the, there's a thread that I started with my customs on the toy forum.
Mm.
I think there's photos of it in there. If there's not, I'll find some. Where I it was just boring. You look at all these other colourful ones, it was just this flat grey blur. So I painted the flaps and some of the leading edges like this pale blue. And I put, I think one of the zeros came with US Marines stickers. So I put US Marines stickers all over it. And UN Marines, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I should say. And that was my UN Marines custom. But, so yeah, so I had all of those. And then the overlap for the 148s was the zeros starting to hit. Which it annoyed me they were a different scale. I remember that really bugged me that they weren't 148th scale. Until I put one next to a 148th VF1, I went,
realize how
these would be friggin' enormous. They would be huge.
Right.
So, I had, now the Zero S, when it came out, I got six of them.
Wow. How do I
spread over the, know what happened to them all?
How much that set you back?
Oh, shit tons. Like, there are a couple of hundred a pop, thereabouts. Which now would be, like, cheap. But, yeah. But there are a couple of $100 each. I got one, loved it. Got a second one, just because it was fun to play with. So I bought another second one. Then I had a third one, which got crushed in the mail. The tail snap, it was just shattered. And I was like, mother. And no, it wasn't the shipping, she was packed properly.
Right.
The box was literally like, it was like someone had jumped up and down on it. Like, no amount of packing could have protected it from this. And that was with, they're still around, a company called Toywave.com, who I knew relatively well because I bought a lot of stuff from him, especially Macross stuff. So I messaged him, I was like, dude, this is what happened. And he sent me another one. He had insurance on it from his end, and so he sent me another one. So that was my third. And then one of them I painted to be Max's. I painted it all the trim blue.
Mm.
And so that was Max's 0S. I don't remember what it is. I think the third one I just kept as a finder. That's the one that you saw earlier down in the thing.
Right, it's currently in the shed.
It's only in the garage in the back. And then the fourth one is up there, which is the one with the super pack.
Right, right.
And then eventually someone gave me another one, which I saw. I traded on. I gave it on to somebody else. Like, he was just getting rid of stuff, and he's like, yeah, I can't sell it. Nobody wants to pay the money. You take it. At least you'll enjoy it.
Hmm.
So I panel lined it up and then traded it off to somebody else. And the only one... Yeah, so I've got two... Well, I've got three left. I've still got the Max one in a box somewhere. I've got that one that you saw down in the garage, and I've got... that one up there, which is the one with the super pack, which is the one that had the refinement, like they tightened all the tolerances a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit better. And with the release of the 0D, I'm really hoping we get another 0S and A with all the tight joints and all the refinement. Because I love the 0. The 0S is one of my favorites into my top three, like I said. I think it's everything great about a VF1 done better.
Wow.
The VF1 is a beautiful piece of engineering, especially for its time.
Mm.
But it looks like it's got the simplicity of an 80s mech.
Right.
Whereas the...
guess I can see that.
The Zero looks like it was designed to be a modern aircraft, if that makes sense.
Okay, I can see
that. That's not to say I don't... Look, I mean, you can see I've got a whole stack of VF1s up there.
Right.
It's not that I don't love the VF1. So I ended up trading away most of my 148s when the 160 V2s came out,
mm-hmm.
because they were great. I don't think I'm ever going to need more
VF1s.
The only way I could see myself... If Bandai decides to do some in 160 scale in the DX line, I'd get the Do You Remember Love ones because I don't have them.
Hmm.
I did, but I traded them. I decided I didn't really need two squadrons on my shelf of VF1s.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the way the Bandai's handle their renewal stuff so much that I'd probably go for a set of Do You Remember Love Valks.
Okay.
And I kind of wish I had a Hikaru 0S... 1S.
Mm.
Because I like that tension art that's on my wallpaper that's all the main planes flying away, and it's right. Hikaru 0S from the movie. 1S, sorry, from the movie. So I kind of wish I had that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I trade away most of my 148s except for the Stealth, the Low Vis 2, and the Low Vis 1.
Mm.
Which someday when I've got a bigger toy room and have room to... Like, you don't understand, you see this is less than half my toy collection.
So the rest is in the garage?
Most of those boxes that right. you saw. When we were down there looking for a stand for my microphone because my mic broke, my mic stand broke. Yeah, most of the ones that are down in the... Well, not most. About half are toy boxes.
So is this most of your... Like, you have more macro stuff down there?
Very, very little macro stuff down there now. Okay. I've got 2 0s and the 3 148s. And I... think that's it.
So I suppose, look,
you pay too much for these to stick them in box.
Yeah, but before I move on, so I'm figuring you're getting the 0D when it comes.
Oh shit, yeah.
Are you getting 6 of them this time?
No, the price has gone up a tad, and I work a lot less because I have a daughter. So no, I'm only getting the one. Luckily, there's only one other thing coming out in February because I collect multiple toy lines,
mm-hmm.
which is Sinon from Figma from Sword Art Online 2. She's coming out that month as well. Luckily, I got them both a name, Army Army.
Mm-hmm.
And
pre-order discount.
Pre-order discount. So I don't remember what it... 29 something. I don't remember what the pre-order discount on the 0D was.
So, well, you are getting the 0D then. That's a given.
I love the D. I prefer the D to the A. I think the S is the coolest one.
Mm-hmm.
See, and again, it's the head sculpt is just... The head design is really badass looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that's cool about a VF1S.
But chunkier.
But with yeah, and chunkier, and just with I love the curve edges and the element, like Kyle Mori added the sensor lights that you see, like they're on the 19 as well. Like the hang on, yeah. Like the cool these sensor things that are on the zeros right. as well that I like a lot. Like a lot of this sort of. The tapering, the wide and narrow things he does with the noses and things, a lot of that came into effect, really, with the 19 And then he kept that philosophy alive when he did the Zeros. So it really feel the Zero really feels like a modern plane in that sense. Whereas the One feels like a fighter jet designed in the 80s. And it's great for that. Mm. Even the 148s, they felt like an 80s plane done, you know, that was a sci-fi plane as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Zeros feel like modern planes. They feel like 2000s planes done in that, which they're supposed to be, you know. Mm. And I think they looked great in Zero. They, you know, they were cool. And
right.
The Zero S looks like every fight scene with the Zero S and Zero is super memorable. It's super action packed and well done. And so yeah, like, I know not everyone agrees, and that's fine. And that's just how I feel. Like if he designed the VF1s to have more of a zero sensibility, I would be totally fine with it. If Kawamura, if the next Macro show, like, remember for a while people were wondering if it was going to be the first.
Yeah.
Redone.
Yeah.
And because they're doing a Gundam one, right? Aren't they doing a... They're redoing... I mean,
there's a Gundam The Origins coming
out. And Yamato 2199 just came out. So it seemed... And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they did do a Macross one down at some point.
I can't see it happening anytime soon if...
Kawamura is involved.
Yeah, I think it would have to mark... And this could be a good thing. If it were to ever happen, it would have to mark him taking a more hands-off approach with the franchise, letting creative control go a bit. And as such, a remake, not saying that remakes are easy, but would be a great, you know, testing ground
for
new stuff. But again, Kawamura is still ludicrously young. You've got to remember, he was like directing Do You Remember Love when he was in college.
Yeah, he was 21, 22, right? So he's what, 40, mid-40s, late 50s, early 50s? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's still ludicrously young for a creator of something like this. So he's got a few years in him, for better or worse.
Yeah.
Unless he decides to... Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind, and this is just me sprouting off here, but I wouldn't mind a scenario where he took full reins for all continuations, but let, you know, a new, I don't want to say B team, but a new team do something like a remake in parallel, giving him more time to think about what to do next.
Yeah, like give him like a little bit, like certain creative oversight, so that nothing goes astray, but he's not directly handling it. I think that, I mean, even the VF1s in Do You Remember Love, you can already see the design shift.
The cockpits.
And they just look a bit more mechanized than they did in the... Well, I mean, the original, it came out in 82. He had limits in animation budgets and what he could do and how many lines he could put on a plane.
Right.
I freely understand why it happened the way it happened. And I love the VF1. Like, again, please, internet, don't come after me thinking I hate the VF1. I don't. I've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them sitting up there. And I just said I would buy, if Bandai did more, I would pick them up as well. And honestly, if...
Are you interested in the high metal...
No, different scale. Cars? No. I only collect one scale, 160 scale. So Bandai has to do 160 DX ones, and then I'm in.
Okay.
The high metal gives me hope that they might.
I just... That's something that was just actually discussed last podcast, and...
Is that going up?
Not yet.
Right. Okay.
It's in the can.
So I was gonna say, I don't remember listening. I don't remember hearing that.
We talked a bit about, because, you know, Adrian and Renato and I saw them in person. So there's some impressions last episode, which will go up soon.
Good impressions.
Huh?
Good impressions.
Yeah, fairly. Okay, I just to recap really briefly, I think there's a lot of skepticism that everything in that diorama they had will actually get made.
Oh yeah, of course.
So,
well, Bendo does that across the board. You go look at Figure Arts, and they showed off designs years ago that still haven't come out.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I never thought that for a second. I think they'll start with the chicken walkers and go from there. Regolts?
The Regolts. They
I'm really bad at remembering the villain names. It's funny. I can tell you every number, every name for the number for the VF series, but the Regolts and whatnot, I get mixed up a bit.
So you mentioned, of course, you know, all the buying you do nowadays is online.
Well, it's limited, online, and it's much more limited than it used to be.
But so, I mean, there's less places to buy this. Well, not that there was at any point, you know, a bunch of import shops to buy this from, like you get in areas of the US. But
right.
I mean, yeah, with the advent of the internet, I'm presuming you're buying mostly online now. Do you come across much in the way of Macross fans or people who you can talk to Valks, talk with about Valks, or like offline? Like, what's the
again,
fandom?
Spanner, I really wish you were here. Spanner's the only one I've met in, but honestly, I've tried to get many of my friends into Macross and failed. I tried showing Plus, and I've tried showing Zero, and I've tried the Frontier movies. My wife has fallen asleep in Do You Remember Love 3 times.
Wow, she didn't remember Love.
Apparently. No, she watched Plus, and that took a little while to get through, but she liked Plus, and she watched both Frontier movies from start to finish and really, really enjoyed them.
Really? What do you think the difference is there between Do You Remember Love and Frontier? That
Do You Remember Love is in some ways a product of its time. I mean, let's face it, we all love Roy, but Roy's kind of a chauvinistic prick.
That's why we love him.
Right, but we're not women. she didn't like Roy. She, at the time, I should say, the only version I've got is not a great bootleg.
Right.
I mean, it's an okay, it's you know, certainly more than watchable, but it's not super quality or anything. It was before the Blu-ray came out, long before the Blu-ray came out. And it was subtitled, and she's like me, she knits, she's a big knitter, and so she can't focus on what she's doing and watch the screen at the same time. When she watches anything without knitting or doing something with her hands, she tends to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So when we watched the Frontier flicks, we watched them on my computer because I had high-res versions that I couldn't put onto I couldn't get onto the TV, and she watched them. She watched them while knitting, but she really enjoyed it. And like by the end, she had the knitting down. She was like on the edge of her seat and really, really watching what was going on. And she said that for days she had the Valkyrie song from the end of Wings of Goodbye in her head, which is one of my favorite tracks from the Frontier.
It's just I'm just curious as to. Last time I was in Sydney, I went to Smash, and it was really interesting seeing how fandom has grown generally for anime here, and you know, a lot more cosplayers, a lot more younger fans, and I was like, well, if fans are getting together in greater numbers, surely there's going to be more opportunities for Macross
you
fans
would
to
think.
Get together.
I've got a photo from Supernova, I think it's a couple of years ago now, of me and a Cheryl cosplayer. I never take photos with cosplayers, but I saw someone as Cheryl, and I had to. And this year I saw an Alto and a Cheryl, and again I took a photo with Alto and Cheryl because I had to.
Right.
But I very rarely see. I know that there's a lot in Japan and whatnot, but I think out here, I mean, Frontier is big with. Well, Frontier was a huge success, as my understanding of it goes. I could be wrong, but my understanding in Japan, it was a big success.
Yeah.
But it was a big success because of Cheryl Runker and to a lesser extent Alto.
Right.
It wasn't a big success because of the planes or anything like that, or because it was part of the Macross franchise. It was the kind of anime that we're getting now done well. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it was a different sort of... it's a different sort of fandom. You guys even had someone on your show... I don't remember where it was, but she only spoke... She spoke very little English. One of you was into one of you guys
was
into
Vox Pops. I think.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was. And she was like, she liked, you know, it was like, do you like Cheryl or Ronka? And she's like, oh, I think she liked Cheryl. And it was like, oh, what about Alto? No, I don't like Alto. Oh, have you watched any of the other older ones? No, I don't care about any of the older ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure that's a lot of the Frontier fandom.
That, well, at the moment, that would be the greater percentage of Macross fandom in general.
Sure.
Which is interesting. I mean, that's the great the challenge in Delta is going to be how they get people interested, bring those fans along, yet still do something new.
I think fans who are expecting it to be a grim and gritty war and drama, first of all, you haven't been paying attention to Macross. It's never been that. It's never going to be that. It's not Gundam. It's not Yamato. It's a different entity. It's more melodrama. It's more. It's got more flair. It's got more. I don't want to say more life. That's the wrong word. But it's a brighter series. It's never not going to be that. So if you're expecting grim and gritty, I think you'll be sorely disappointed.
Right. No, I agree.
I expect you're going to get something much more like Frontier than any other Macross.
And I think that's both the challenge for Kalmori and the risk in that he doesn't do things that are similar to other things. Right. So for those who know Macross, there's going to be a risk that he does something too similar and alienates them. But for this greater segment of the fan base, which, you know, if you think about it, there are kids who grew up now with Frontier, and that was, you know, 2008, so we're talking 6 years ago already. You know, they could have been in elementary school, they're looking at graduating around the time, going to college by the time the new series comes
out. And we don't even know when Delta's going to air. I mean,
yeah.
I'll be surprised if we get it in 2015. I think it's going to be more like the end of 2015, 2016.
I think 2016's probably a better bet at this point.
Because DeCulture aired, wasn't it Christmas of 2007? So I reckon we'll get something similar Christmas 2015.
Mm. I don't think that would be unreasonable. No. As much as everyone would like something sooner.
We'll get images and stuff before that. We'll know more before that, but we won't see the show until then. I mean, think about it. When did Wings of Goodbye come out?
2012?
11 or 12, yeah. So that's, what, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 4 years. They got 4 years out of Frontier. And in fact, if you consider Macross 30, they got 4 and a bit years out of Frontier. We're going to be seeing whatever Delta brings us. We're going to get Delta for 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. We'll get Delta till 2020. Some way, shape, assuming it does well. And I think it will.
I think there's a lot of expectations on it. And yep. Yeah, I've met many, many fans who are... got in via Frontier. If they've gone back and watched other Macross, often they've gone back and watched 7, because that is the last TV series. And
they're like, what
and the? They're like, well, we're into music, and this is music, and the characters are really well known.
Are they? Are Basso and everyone pretty cool?
Oh, Basso is pretty well known, yeah.
Because of, what's his name, the singer?
Oh, Fukuyama.
Yeah, Fukuyama. Yeah, I was going to say that, and I thought I'd get it wrong. Damn it.
But anyways, look, I suppose we should probably put a cap on this and call it a day. It's well past lunchtime. But,
yeah, it is. It's almost dinner time.
So, apart from ripping on Spanner, is there anything you'd like to throw out there to the guys at Macross World or listenership in general? Things you want to pimp, your podcast as well.
Absolutely. Repacked Podcast. Head to www.therepackpodcast or repackpodcast.com. Both will get you there. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at The Scream Man. You can find us at Facebook, at The Repack Podcast on Facebook, and at The Repack Podcast on Twitter. Although I admit the Repack Podcast Twitter is largely just getting stuff off Facebook. We tend to be more Facebook oriented because we can post longer things and lots of pictures. So you can absolutely find us that way. I'm Scream Man on Macross World. I lurk around the anime forums. Usually Macross anime forum.
Mm-hmm.
I usually jump in there when I've got a question or, you know, in the newbie question thread. I think that sort of thread is really good because you get out the people who know lots of intricate knowledge and the other people who are just asking the little things here and there. And I do that a lot myself. I think Macross fandom needs to enjoy the details, but not stress the details. I will happily sit and have a conversation on a forum or in person about how the controls work on a VF anything. But I don't want to have an argument with someone telling me you're an idiot for thinking the way you do about it. And that sounds like a fine distinction, but I think a lot of fandoms are like that. And I think that's something important to remember being a fan of anything. If you're a fan of it, you enjoy it. If you're on a forum, other people on that forum enjoy it too. You can have a friendly debate, you can have a friendly argument, whatever. There's no need to let anything get personal because we're all enjoying the same thing. I think by the time, if you've still got one in the can before this, then I'm guessing the Zero D might even be out by the time this airs. But don't fret the blue on the Zero D. It's going to be blue. It's going to be a pale blue. Maybe it'll be a dark blue. It'll be blue. As long as it's some sort of blue. If it was pink, I'd be upset. If it was green, I'd be upset. It's blue. I don't care the shade. if you do care the shade, that's great. And again, debating the shade is fine. Berating others for not being interested in the shade, that's stupid. But enjoy it. Enjoy the toys that are coming. Enjoy the toys that you have. Enjoy the Delta that's coming, or whatever it's called. Enjoy the shows that you have. Watch 7, watch Plus, watch the original again. And enjoy it. It's all Macross. It's all planes and robots and girls and boys. It's all fun. It's all light. It's all... It's got... Things can be serious without being soul-crushing. Evangelion wrecked me. I hated Evangelion by the end. I've still never watched them all at once.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't watched the Rebuild movies yet. Because they
are spectacular.
Yeah, I hear. But I want to wait till they get to the end, because...
It's a wait. That's a long wait.
Yeah, I know. But... I'm in a minority in what I enjoy in my shows. I don't mind if an ending can be kind of dark, as long as it's not... You shouldn't be depressed watching a show from start to finish. You shouldn't feel like you need a shower after watching entertainment. I've still yet to watch more than 3 episodes of Breaking Bad, because Breaking Bad was about a guy who is slowly falling apart.
Right.
And to me, that is the least fun thing I can imagine ever watching.
Fair enough.
No matter how well it's done, I just don't see the point. Macross is not a gritty war story. It's not about people getting blown to pieces. People die, and you can be sad about that. You should be sad about that. As I said, Michelle's death in the Frontier series is beautifully handled. But it's always going to have music. It's always going to have love. And it should always have those things, or else it's no longer Macross. And yes, it should absolutely have kick-ass-looking fighter jets that change into kick-ass-looking robots shooting the crap out of each other. I would actually... You know what would be cool? You know what I want for Delta? And you didn't tell me that... We have to do it off-air, I guess, but... The rumors for Delta that you were talking about?
Gotcha.
I hope that they're fighting... the one thing I didn't like as much about Frontier is that you're fighting monsters.
Right.
I want to fight monsters. Give me enemies. Give me villains. And it doesn't have to be Zentradi. Give us guys. First of all, let's see some Supervision Army up in this shit, right? I mean, I don't care. I don't want to know where the Mega Road went. I don't care if we ever find out what happens to Misa and everyone, because as Kawamura said, their stories are done. But don't mention that the Zentradi have been fighting someone for thousands of years and then never talk about them again. Surely, even just run into them. Like, I'm not saying I need, you know, the protoculture to be explained in fully, but at least give us something about the Supervision Army. Something. But yeah, I want to see mech fights. I want to see... 7 didn't do it well enough, but, you know, transforming mecha on both sides. That'd be cool, man. Like,
right.
It's why Plus was fun, it's why Zero was fun, you know? Mecha fighting mecha, transforming into jets, and you get some really interesting fights that way. It's why I never liked the Regults or any of the Q-Ras or any of that stuff,
right?
Because they're just one thing, and they're not even to my eye. And I know I'm again in a minority. I just never found that exciting to look at. It was an egg with legs. It was a chicken. You know, it was the cool Zentradi fighters, those green fighters. You never saw enough of them. But, you know, let's see some cool space action. And let's see some cool planetary action. You know? Find an atmosphere.
Well, I'm sure we'll get some space action. That's, you know... One of the three pillars.
I'll be interested to see if it's on a colony. It'd be kind of interesting to go back to Earth, in some ways. Or if it's on a colony, like an established colony world. I assume that all of those colony ships are designed to land on a planet, and then the colony somehow spreads out from the ship. Like, presumably all the buildings and everything are somehow transportable, or...
Just metroplexes itself.
Yeah, well, that's it. It metroplexes itself out into it. It must, I assume. But, I think it's time to see a colony or Earth or be on a planet. Like, go into space, sure, but setting it on another fleet would feel a little bit redundant to me, I think, at this point.
Interesting.
Won't ruin it for me, but I just think it's time to see a world. And what, you know, because I mean, that would have its own challenges too. A colony world. The colony gets attacked. Who knows? Maybe it's like, you know, there's an ancient alien race or whatever used to use the world as its home, and they disappeared. Now they've come back, or they wake up, or who knows? It's in territory between two different armies that they didn't know about until, because it's so vast. I don't know. There's lots of things I think you can do with the world. That...
Right. No, well, that's one of the great things about Macross, by not necessarily being beholden to what's come before.
Right.
There is a lot of potential there and variety. It's just keeping those fans happy. But look, either way, we'll find out.
We will.
Moving forward.
Sorry, so, that was a long exit, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
So thank you for your time, Greg.
You too, man. I appreciate it. It was fun.
And this is the Macross Speaker Podcast signing out. But just remember, pink VF0Ds. Hopefully coming your way, 2016.
It's the breast cancer awareness.
Valkyrie.